What's going on, my podcast family? Welcome back to another episode of Knowing It's Knowing. I'm your host, Rashad Young, and as always, I appreciate you all tuning into a brand new episode. Today, I was very gracious enough to have an amazing interview with a good brother of mine, man, Martell Smooth, man, out of Detroit, D-Town. We talk about his life experiences as an artist, as a creative, what it means to be a human, all the great things, man. So please, if you get a chance, make sure to check out his social media on the description of the episode. I appreciate you all so much. Super dope combo. Make sure you check it out. Till next time. Peace.
Problem, man. I think it's really important, man, that we stick together as far as just people in the world, man. Everybody has a story, you know? And I think a lot of times people in the space of content, if you don't have a big following, or if you don't have, you know, it's like, well, I don't want you on. Well, I'm like, I'm the opposite of that. I feel like if you got a story, you got a background, if you want to sit down and have a conversation, I'm all for that, man. So tell me a little bit about you, man. I know some things. I've heard a project of yours. I heard some music. It looks like you're into art, you're into music, man. So tell me your story, man. How do we get here today?
Tell you the truth, Rashad, I'm still trying to figure out how we got here today. You know, I'm still figuring it out, man. But, I started out like everybody else, a normal childhood. Loved my childhood, man. You know, I know as a very young child, man, when I heard that Digital Underground, my older brother, we was in bunk beds. We were going to sleep. He was playing Digital Underground. I get around and I just heard that pop verse, and it, as a kid, I just remember the feeling he gave me. I just know that's when I fell in love with music. You know, I didn't know that I would do it or want to do it, but I fell in love with it, man. And I went back to being a kid and playing, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, from there, you know, about 16, I started a rap group with my friends in the complex. And then that stopped. And about 18, I started another rap group with my friends in the complex. And then about, you know, a couple years after that, I'm from Detroit, Michigan. So I start going to Wayne State University, and I started to go to some of their film auditions, some of their student film auditions. And then I just started, networking with people up there, auditioning for a lot of films up there. And then I fell into acting, you know. I'm all around creative, man. I'm in acting, fashion, music, but overall, man, I'm just a human being trying to find my way like everybody else, you know.
Yeah, and your way is through the arts.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
So I know you mentioned Digital Underground, hearing that verse with Pac, but was there something that drew to you to just be creative as a kid, like when you were a kid that liked to draw a lot? Did you like watch a cartoon when you were a kid that kind of got you to that point? Like how do we get to being a creative?
Yeah, man. Growing up, as a kid, I would stay in the house. Like I would lie and tell my friends, like, my mom said I can't come outside. But it was me that didn't want to go outside, you know what I'm saying? Because I would want to sit in the house and do weird stuff. Like, I just go in my mom's room and go in my dad's room, go in the kitchen drawer, and just find shit. You know what I mean? Can we curse on here?
Yeah, a little bit, but we good. I got you.
I keep it PG, my bad. But I would just find stuff, you know? I would just find stuff, man, and you know, I had a hot glue gun. I always kept hot glue guns, and I would just find stuff, and I like gluing stuff and just drawing, sketching. I would sketch my own clothes and shoes, and, you know, I was just into the arts a lot, definitely. Yeah. Painting.
Yeah. Okay, so drawing, sketching, painting. Man, I wish I could, man. I still can't color in the lines, man. You know, growing up, when, you know, teachers used to test your motor skills, they used to tell me all the time, I need help with that, because I did not know how to do it right, man. But I always thought, man, that, you know, being creative is, like, the coolest thing, man. You know, kind of thinking about a couple, like, cartoons and, like, movies, was there something that, like, drew to you early as a kid that really like helped you really kind of expand upon that creativity?
I would say I remember watching Popeye as a kid. Popeye, Batman. I would say definitely the MC Hammer cartoon. with the talking shoes and stuff. I was more so into movies. Movies really, I don't know what it did. Movies, the Nickelodeon shows, Are You Afraid of the Dark, all that. You know, all the 90s sitcoms, you know, that really pulled out a lot of my creativity. You know what I'm saying? It's like it became a part of my vocabulary. Like me and my friends, when we talk, we would just say movie lines all day or lines from shows and stuff we saw. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. And so now, I mean, I know you say you're from Detroit. Are you currently still living in Detroit? Or are you somewhere else? Did you move?
Yeah, I'm still in Michigan. I bounce around a bit. I lived in Brooklyn for a minute, then I lived in Los Angeles for a minute. But I'm still in Michigan. I'm back in Michigan.
So Michigan, okay. Well, what's your favorite out of all three of those cities, Brooklyn, L.A., or Michigan? I mean, I know home has the bias, but, you know, you live in two different coasts too, man. So which one really stands out? Or between L.A. and Brooklyn? I switch it, L.A. to Brooklyn.
Okay. I love them all. It was so, each experience was so different, man. But I something about New York I love, man. Just the scenery and the fashion, man. I love it. But I love the laid backness of California and the weather. And man, it's nice. They're both nice, but I it's something about New York, man. I've always loved, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I always told myself I have 1 year just do absolutely just nothing. I would love to live in Brooklyn for a year just to really experience that
that
culture, man. Yeah. I got a lot of family in the East Coast, but I never really had the experience. Yeah. Well, a lot of my family's from Philly and like a little small area called Coastville, but I never had a experience to really be in New York and like really live that New York life, man. There's something about like the language how they talk up there.
Yeah.
Really just stuck out to me, man. So no, that's cool, man. So, okay, so what's going on now in today's world? Like, what are we presenting to the world now as a creative? Like, what's your vision for yourself, like now and moving forward?
Oh man, in the now, man. You know, when you first start out, it's all about music. I'm an artist, but you go through so many different experiences, and then as a human being, you're just growing, you know. So where I'm at today, man, I want to get more into more motivational speaking. I would like to do events. I'm not sure how I can make it translate online. I think this is a start, doing things like this with like-minded individuals like yourself, you know, but that's what I want to tap into. Right now, I do have a project coming out this month called Point of No Return. I want to get back into acting more wholeheartedly. I'm actually been doing a script reading for a thriller currently. Hopefully that works out well. But definitely want to get back into acting. I'm working on that. Like I said, the project coming out this month. And then I have some shoes, man, that I designed. I started out sketching shoes in seventh grade. And then about 2 years ago, I partnered with a group, company out in Italy by the name of Alive Shoes, and they gave me an opportunity to design my own shoes, and they distribute them from there. This is the Destiny Steps. These are the green and white. And I want to get
nice.
I want to get more into fashion, man. Honestly, I'm working on a clothing brand, you know, but it's just that's really where I'm at with it, man, to be honest. And like I said, I want to tap more into my purpose and touch more people as well in the process. Because it's not all about just doing what I want to do or getting this creativity out. But I think I saw Erykah Badu, she said on the Breakfast Club, a recent interview, she said, like, with creatives, people don't understand, like, we have to get the creativity out. Like, well, we feel sick. It's not about money. It's not about clout. It's not, man, if I'm not creating, I feel sick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I feel that. Actually, you actually kind of helped me go into that, my next question or something I thought of. You mentioned doing so much of what you do now. I mean, you like I said, music, the acting, the clothing, like, you know, where do you find the balance in that? If there is balance, I don't think there is a balance in being a creative, but like, how do you find the energy to really navigate that as best as you can to really just kind of keep your message and your point across and your vision across?
Damn, man, that's a great question. To be honest with you, Rashad, it's no balance. My life has sacrificed. My life has suffered because of it. Because I've been doing this for about a decade plus. So it's like, it's no balance. I have no social life. I've lost relationships, friendships. I've missed out on so many family events. Really, even with family, like the relationships have, family is always family, and I love them and they love me. But the spending the time, like it hasn't been there in quite a while, and it's just like I'm always creating, man. It's like for like a decade plus, I didn't watch TV. I was just studying the greats, studying interviews, or watching, studying documentaries on the greats, or studying somebody's album or their style, or studying fashion. It's like, I literally is my life. I don't even know how to live, to be honest with you. That's something I'm just now beginning to tap into and learn to do. It's just living.
Man, that is a very profound statement. Because I was going to ask you about the sacrifice of that, because I do think that people don't understand. Artistry is a little bit different than the other industry, because it's pretty much a way of life. Your livelihood is simply usually driven by the things that you create, man. So for you to say that and to say what you've had to sacrifice to get to this point, if you don't mind me asking, is there any regrets with that? And is there like a conflict sometimes that comes with that experience of wanting to create so much?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I always say, if I can go back, it's not that I regret anything, but I'm going to be honest. It's a few things I would have did a little differently. I have two kids, and, you know, I was a teenage dad. So trying to navigate all this creative journey, jumping here, and then trying to be a dad. You know, I went to college. I went to Wayne State. I got 4.0s for like two semesters. I just didn't know what I was in college for. I'm like, I don't even know why I'm here. I just know my dad, my mom, my brother. Go to college, man. Go to college. Didn't know what I wanted to do. I was in college, didn't know what I wanted to do, and dropped out. And once I decided I was doing this, I haven't looked back since then. I didn't how I was going to take care of myself, none of that. So I didn't go get a career. I always kept a job and kept a 9-to-5, but you know, that fluctuates, you know, because when they don't want me no more, it's bye, you know, but your kids still got to eat, bills still have to be paid. And I think financially, I took a huge sacrifice for chasing the creativity. And that's why I tell people, that's why with me, you know, you getting what you see. Like if I was doing this for clout or fame or whatever, I would have quit a long time ago. I ain't made no money off of it. And I've been doing it about a decade plus. It really hurt my life more than it helped my life, to be honest with you. You know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah, no, that's beautiful, man. I mean, also, just thanks for sharing that. That's the truth that I don't know. I don't know if a lot of people would really, you know, share that. Because when you think of artists and you think of the ones that we can think of, like a Basquiat or like a Michelangelo, you see like this beautiful painting, and you hear about the story and you're like, oh man, you know, this painting sold for, you know, 4.5 million or something like that. And I always think about the artists though, that, you know, that are doing this on a day to day, like the true grind that comes with that. And I don't know if anybody would share the difficulties behind that, man. So I really,
you know why, Rashad, and no, I mean to interrupt you, because a lot of people out here, for one, I understand the critiques that come with it, especially in social media. People don't want to be, I can't think of the word. They don't want to be ridiculed. But also, yeah, it's a lot of people that's faking images and faking, you know, so they don't want to say that. Mm-hmm. I don't got no image to fake. You know, you see me, I'm dressed nice. I take showers. Yeah. I'm in a grooming. I don't sit here. You don't hear me in my music say, I got so much money, I'm living like this. Yeah. Now, people can look at the social media, look at the pictures, look at the videos, and make assumptions. I'm not responsible for what they assume, what they see. But I'm just being creative. I think it's important to look like the art, look like the music, you know, but it's like, I ain't got nothing to hide, man. I'm an open book.
And I think as we should be. And I've never, I'm like similar to you, man. I don't do this for some sort of clout or fame. I mean, I would be sitting there lying to you if I did not say that I don't have aspirations, to be recognized for the work, but it's never really been my driving force. I think that's why I have a lot of conflict sometimes with this, because this is I've been podcasting probably since 2018. This is my third or fourth one by myself. Third one by myself. I did one with my friends, and I won't say the name out loud just in case like my job hears me or something. But me and my friends, we did one for a while, and it took off. But there was points where I had dilemmas on where it was going, not because of what we were doing. It was just where I was as a person. I always kind of felt some of the topics I want to talk about were I'm a very reflective guy.
Okay.
If you haven't noticed that by now, and I pay a lot of attention to things that are important to me. And it's hard to change that. You know, I think similar to what you said, man, it's the assumptions that we make because of what we see. It is hard for me to be anything but this. Where, you know, somebody can make content on a day in a life. I can't do that. Not because I don't want to. That's just not the space that I could see myself being in. And to me, what is important to me, I stick to that lane and I don't try to deviate from that.
Okay.
So that's, so I definitely understand that you have to be a certain way, you know, come off a certain way and people will assume. But I've also learned as I've continued to do this that I have to be myself in this whole process. I cannot change who I am to fit into lanes that make sense for people. I like to talk about these things. If it fits your narrative, great. If it does not fit your narrative, and that's okay too. I'm not really a guy that likes to talk about hot topics all the time, like
that,
how much men and women hate each other for their healing.
That's what makes you different, make you special.
Appreciate that. Yeah, and I think those are important topics. Like,
don't get me wrong.
I just think that we focus too much on the negative aspects outside of that. We don't never talk about why it's a problem.
Exactly. You know,
like, what are we doing to contribute to that? Like, how can we better these problems? We kind of just sit around and point fingers. And I got to a point where I just don't really care about that no more, man. So I really do care about people's stories. So I want to skip back to you because you said purpose. I would greatly assume that you think that your purpose is to create in life, but what is your ultimate goal then? If it's not for, you know, the creating, you want to get into speaking now, like what do you think your purpose is as a person?
Man, you know, when I first started, I thought my purpose was to be an artist but now, like, I feel like it continues to unravel. I went through a very crazy spiritual awakening within about the last year and a half. I got into a car accident. A car hit me, sped into a semi-truck. I ain't gonna lie, man. I thought I was gonna die. I ain't had no seatbelt on. It's something about near-death experiences changes you forever. So after that, for me to walk out of that with no injuries, just like a mild concussion, it changed me, bro. And I've been asking myself pretty much every day since then, like, how can I tap more into my purpose? So I guess right now, I may be wrong, but right now I feel like my purpose is to spread love as much as I can. I'm just trying to leave that good energy wherever I go, whether it's a podcast like with yourself, whether it's a song, whether it's an interaction with a stranger in a grocery store. Like, I just want to leave light in this world, man. I ain't trying to get all preachy or nothing, but this world it's so much.
Please do.
Okay. But it's so much negativity, especially in our community. It's ran off so much low vibrational bull. It's ran off so much negativity, so much tear each other down. It is not that I'm trying to change the world. I'm just trying to leave my mark. How small it is, how big it is, that's up to God. I'm just trying to leave something, man. And that's why I respected you so much for reaching out, man. You go in spaces, guys want to be egotistical. They want to compete with you. It's no ego for me, man. I want you to shine, Rashad. I want you to be your best self, brother. I salute you. And even after this podcast, if it's any way that I can support, I'm down. Like, that's who I am as a person. It's not about me doing this on camera. That's who I am as an individual. And I just want to be the opposite of what I see in the world. always say, be the change you want to see. I'm just, part of my purpose is being the change I want to see.
No, that's beautiful, Matt.
That's all.
I will tell you a little bit too, just so you know, it might be the Wi-Fi, it got a little choppy, but I did get a chance to catch a good portion of what you said. I just want to put that out there.
Okay. Cool.
So no, but I think that's beautiful, man. I think that plays a big role into the reason why you are today. And if you don't mind me pivoting just a little bit, you said something I think is very profound, and I'm curious because I guess I'll dive into this space. When you express to, let's say you're dating somebody, when you express that you're an artist, how was that received? If you aren't seeing anybody, if you're seeing anybody, I'm sure it's fine. But if you aren't, how is that received in today's time?
I say this, I've lost a couple relationships because of the, not directly because of the creative, but because I just couldn't give them what they need. However, my longest relationship, it played a huge part on it. You know, I wasn't able to give her what she needed. You know, the thing is, I've been playing catch up ever since I've been an adult. Like I said, I was a teenage parent. So I jumped off the porch early, wanting to be grown, and I got what I wanted. But at the same time, I decided to pick a heck of a career choice. I didn't think nothing about anything. I know I want to do this. You know, I didn't know it came with this and that and this and that and that and that and that. And it's going to affect your life this way. So those huge effects, I think that's what it affects the most is my relationships. My relationships with whomever I'm in a relationship with. My kids, you know, that's what it affected the most. And I, now that I'm a little older, I see the consequences of what it did. And that's why I wish I can go back and do that a little differently. And I still don't have the answer, but you know, you live and you just try to get better, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that makes, again, total sense. You kind of, again, I think it comes with the aspect of the life that you chose. And it's, again, it's really telling of the honesty behind that. You know, some people be like, oh, you know, she was crazy or he was crazy, and that's why it didn't work out. But you did mention understanding the need of somebody, what they need. So I guess in today's time, is the approach still the same when it comes to that? Or are you just so focused on what your purpose is in life that you just kind of understand the consequences that may come with that?
I'll say today, where I'm at today, I'm in a relationship, but it's complicated. And there's a lot of elements that only we know about. It's choppy, you know, but the love is always there. And the love will be there whether the relationship works, whether it doesn't. Just because that person, it's always been there for me. And, you know, even if it don't work, we always be like this no matter what. For such a long period of time, and it's just a bond that can't be broken. And she know that, you know what I mean? No matter if our relationship skyrocket and get greater or it boom and go to the left, you know?
Yeah, it's just a...
But
it's just
a play it. Exactly.
I'm sorry, you're supposed to say it just plays what?
It plays a huge effect though, even today. Like I'm not able to give what's needed because of everything I'm engulfed in. On top of that, still working to keep things, you know, working in the business world or in the you know, corporate world to keep the lights on. So you figure working in the corporate world to keep the lights on and all this creativity over here, what's left for you? You know what I mean? So I still suffer with that.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And just from your perspective, because of just the route that you're taking, what do you think somebody needs from you as a person, or as a partner?
I think they need time. And you know, people don't talk about it, but you know, you gotta get out here and make some money, man. If you talking about being in a relationship, I don't know if you follow him, but I watched TK Kirkland, man. He like one of my mentors, and he don't even know it. Like the TK Kirkland podcast.
Yeah.
I'd be telling myself, bro, if I heard that at 17, 18, 16, oh my God. He always tell the youngest, man, had $25,000 in your bank account before you even approach a woman. Don't even look at her. Don't talk to her. Don't do nothing. Now, granted, I don't think it need to be that much, but you need to have some that I, the gist of what he's saying, so true, man. Because we got to realize, man, they look to us. To the youngest out there, your girl looked at you, bro. You might think, oh, I'm 17, I'm 18, but that's growing, that's going somewhere. She looks to you. So you can't get them together until you get you together. If you don't take the time to get you together, you ain't gonna be able to get nobody else together. An empty cup mm-hmm. cannot pour into no other cup. You gotta have something in your cup to pour.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. No, that's real. I think $25,000 might be a little extreme too, but I get the
right.
I get the point. Just a little extreme, just because, you know, if you meet your love in your life in college, man, then like what exactly. Can you do about that, you know? Like exactly. you ain't got it. So let's talk about this new project. It's coming out this month. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
When's the date of the release?
Right now I'm thinking my birthday. My birthday is November 28th, so I'm thinking about dropping it on my birthday.
Okay. How many songs is it?
About 8 to 9 songs. And I got my son on the intro. He's playing me. I found a letter that I wrote back in like 6th grade. Talk about what I be when I grow up. So I had him read it for the intro.
I love that. What's the basis of the project? Like, what was the idea that we're going with?
So here's the thing. I got a few projects out there, but my last real project, if you go online, you see some stuff I dropped in 2024, but it's really a bunch of old music I recorded like 10 years ago. I just released it this year. So my real last project was a project called Turning Point. That released in 2022. Mm. And where I was at was, it's a turning point in my creative career and a turning point in my life. And on an album cover, I'm just standing in the middle. You see that side, and straight. I'm just looking at a road. My back, that's all you see on the other album cover is my back. But I'm faced these three roads. It's turning point because I'm like, I'm at a turning point. I can go straight, I can go right, or I can go left. And that's where I was at. With this album, it's a sequel to that album, and it's called Point of No Return. This, I'm walking on an album cover, but behind me is fire, chaos. It's the point of no return. I'm walking into, I made my choice. I went right, went left, or went straight. I made my choice, and ain't no looking back. And that's where we at today, point of no return.
No, I love that. I can't wait to see what that looks like, man. That sounds really cool, man. It makes total sense. I think the couple of songs that I did hear was on that 2022 project, and I don't want to get the names of the songs wrong. So give me one second so I can pull it up. There was two songs that really stood out to me. They were back to back. They were literally back to back. Yeah, it was Turning Point. Okay. Yeah, it was It was Royalty and it was Legend. Those two songs back to back. Those were the ones that stood out to me the most. And I was like, especially Royalty, I was like, I was playing that a couple times. I'm like, hold on. I'm like, this man got something here, man, for real. No, I
appreciate it, that. I do.
I think it makes sense. So sticking with music, I mean, you mentioned digital playground back in the day. Like, are there certain other artists in today's time that inspire you? Like, is there like a go-to person you listen to? Do you have like a playlist that you listen to?
Yes, sir. I'll say this. Where I'm at today, I'm like the guy that worked at the fast food place but don't eat the food. I can tell you is man, my whole journey, I didn't. But that's why I'm here today, because I've studied it so much, man. Like, it's been jobs I've worked at where I'm on the line and I just got headphones on and my MP3 player, I'm listening and I'm studying everything, everybody, for 10 hours a day. I'm like, 6 a.m., 5 p.m. every day. I just like good music. And I'm not trying to diss today's music, but it's like you really got it. It really has to stumble across you. It's not much I listen to today. Today, I listen to oldies. My dad was a DJ. Rest in peace, Dad. But I listen to oldies. He put me up on oldies. I listen to oldies. I listen to 90s to R&B. I still listen to the 90s hip hop, early 90s hip hop, but not as much because I just listen to it so much. Where I'm at today, I just mainly listen to oldies and R&B. I listen to today's music. Shout out. I listen to J. Cole. I listen to Drake. I listen to, I listen to Kendrick. I listen to everything. I listen to a little bit of everything. Jordan Lucas. But mainly it's oldies and R&B for me. But I keep my ear, And I listen to a lot of artists that people never heard of that's on a come up or underground. It's a lot of good music out there, R&B and rap, pop. I like pop. I like old 80s pop. I listen to everything. I listen to a lot of gospel, too.
Yeah, gospel. Yeah, gospel. Hey, gospel do it, man. Hey, I tell you all the time, you can work out to some gospel music. Boy, start crying halfway through it. Exactly. It's not tough. Okay, that's good. I like to, in a joking way, just so you can know a little more about me, I like to ask people music taste. One, because I'm very much a big Drake fan, so
Drake's
my favorite artist. And then you say Kendrick, and I was about to stop the interview. But it's okay though, because I understand this is 2024. We're gonna let it be. But my favorite 90s artist, I think a lot of people don't give enough credit, man, is Mos Def. Def is my, Black on Both Sides, I believe the name of the album, is one of my favorite albums of all time. I listen to Love probably once a week, or Mathematics, or Brooklyn, especially Brooklyn. Brooklyn, my favorite songs. Traveling Man, I know this might sound a little bit morbid.
Hey, okay.
It might sound a little morbid, but I would say when my time does come here that is the song that is played when I'm no longer here, because Traveling Man is one of those songs where it applies to so much in life, but it's something that I feel like I listen to when I need to be in a creative space. Yeah, man, Mos Def. People don't give him enough credit, man. They don't.
Mos Def do not get his credit, bro. Mos Def is nice. And his music, stuff he made so long ago still stands the test of time today.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I don't hear that much. That's why it caught me off guard. Mos Def. Oh, hell. Yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah. Mos Def, especially when he played in, he had a song called Breakdown that he had on the Brown Sugar, the movie soundtrack, that I don't think a lot of people give. Like, Mos Def has it, but I mean, I will very much say it here that OBO is my favorite, that's what I rock with over here, man. Anything that's Toronto, that is me. A full fan, a full stan, a full rebel. But that's cool, man. I love to see the versatility, and also, I mean, there's truth. I mean, it's a lot of music in today's time that's very microwavable. It's not really digestible. I still listen to what's going on now because I work with teenagers, or work with kids.
Right.
That's what kind of keeps me in the realm. And some of the music do be good. I don't know what they be saying, but it'd be fire. So I give it to them, man. Well, hey, that's good. Well, I'm super excited to hear about the project, man. I did have about one or two more questions for you. I think that are very important that I would like to ask all my guests. And the first question is, where do you see yourself in the next 5 or 10 years?
Within the next 5 to 10 years, I see myself doing what I love to do for a living. What scale, I don't know. I can't see all that, but I see me doing what I love to do for a living, and I see me giving back some way, you know, giving back some way. And I see me a lot into acting and in business, to be honest with you.
Okay. Acting and business. What, take me a little bit further with that. What do you mean by that?
I see me, because the thing is, yeah, I dabble in acting, but it's been off and on, you know.
Yeah.
Lately, I've been getting really serious. Like, I want to take it there. Like, I want to take it, like, to that Denzel place. And I'm not trying to compare it's nothing like that. I'm just saying I'm trying to really take it there acting-wise. I don't just want to be in this type of film or this type of film. I want to really show my acting chops and really tell some different stories, you know. I want to create a film company. I'm working on that. But I'm still auditioning for other people's movies. I want to audition in other people's stuff. But I'm also, for the last really a decade, I've been writing some romantic comedies, writing some web series, you know. I said, when you start out, you're just trying to tell everybody, when you're an artist, it's, I'm nice. Look at me. Listen to what I'm saying. Not because you want the attention, but you kind of need people to pay attention to the music or to you, to, you know what I mean? And when you start out, everybody, you know, he sucked. Get out of here. They're not looking at you. So you start out beating on your chest. I'm the best. I'm the best. I don't care about that. I'm the best me. You know what I mean? I'm the best me. And that person's the best them. And that's the thing. None of us have the same fingerprint. So it's like, we're all special. It's just how much we tap into our specialness is up to us. But no person has Rashad's fingerprint. No person has Martell's fingerprint. So it's like, long as we focus on that fingerprint, we good. You know what I mean?
100%. No, I love that. And you said one more thing. Well, you said something earlier that I think is really important. And I think it's great to just kind of center it all together, or the point of no return, as you like to say, which I feel like it's going to be the name of this episode. I pick up on things quick. And once I pick up on it, that's it. What do you think it means to be a human in today's time? I'm like, that's what you said earlier, and it sparked the thought. Like, what does it mean to be a human to you in today's time?
Okay, so to Martell Smooth, to me, what it means to be a human is, and it's not easy, because shit, I mean, it took me a long time to learn it.
Yeah.
Be present. Like, for example, I just got back from the grocery store right before the podcast. Like, taking the time to open that door and it's someone, thank you, you're welcome, have a good day. Like, I really value moments like that. Just normal human interaction. Just us having this conversation. I value that. So when you say, what is like to be a human? To be a human, come on, we don't have to be no humanitarian. We all got our human fallacies. Nobody's perfect. But damn, man, just like Spike Lee say, do the right thing. That's all, do the right thing. Be as best of a person you could be, you know. That's what it is like, man. And you know, like, you see a bum on the street, he asking for some quarters. Give him a couple quarters if you got it. Give him a dollar if you got it. I'm that guy. You see the elderly lady in the grocery store trying to reach and get the box, grab it for her. You know, you see a young brother, young sister, and it ain't got to be black. It could be black, white, Spanish, Asian, Caucasian, mixed, whatever. You see them, help them, man. You know, show some love. You can help them just by saying hello. They might not have heard nobody tell them hello in years. You might make their heart melt. You might give them some energy to keep them going for the next few months, that spark them into something. Energy is real, and you never know how it helps, man. You never know what somebody going through and what your interaction with them could catapult them to.
Yeah. Man. Dog, that was great. That was well said. I don't think I was going to say anything better than that. I appreciate you taking the time, man. I really enjoyed this conversation. There's a lot that you have brought, and I'm super excited to stay connected with you, man. I'm super excited for people to get to know more about you, man. So where can people find you on social media?
I want to say I appreciate you, Rashad. Let's stay building, stay tapped in after this, man. And I'm wishing you nothing but blessings and prosperity in your future endeavors, brother. But yes. They can find me at Instagram, Martel Smooth. That's MartelSmooth. And then TikTok, you can catch me at Martel.Smooth. And then on my website, if you want to, you know, support and buy some merch, I don't pump it much because, you know, it ain't about making the money. But, hey, I can use it. So if you want to buy some merch, go to www.smoothshow.net/shop. And that's pretty much it. And, you know, everything, link in the bio on TikTok and Instagram for everything about me, my bio, interviews. If you want to buy some Destiny Steps, you know, it's all there.
No, I definitely am interested to learn more about those shoes, man. They look nice for real. They really did. They look nice and look great. And also, you forgot one platform, man. It's Threads. It's kind of how we even got here. You got here.
True.
Yeah. So major shout out to Threads.
I'm not gonna lie, Threads, man. I connected with Rashad off Threads. You know, this is my first podcast I've been on. So this special, really? Man. So shout out.
Cheers. Cheers to you.
Cheers, man. Shout out to Threads. And it's Threads is where it's at. So yeah, you're right. Threads, Martel Smooth, MartelSmooth, because Threads is the real deal.
Yeah, you know it's crazy. I'll wrap it up with this one. I made a Threads last year, sometime early last year, because it was new, everybody was using it. And it just kind of just like fell off to me. I just lost interest in it. And maybe 2 weeks ago, I felt compelled to get back on there. And I just started saying things or whatever. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this. Let's see if it works. And I put out the podcast thing. And I was like, oh, what? I was like, wait. You know, it was like five people at first. I was like, oh, okay. Five is all right. Then it got 10. It got 15. I said, we might be on to something here, Ben. And then it got to, I think at one point, I got to my 50th person, I was like, all right, this might be too much. And then I was like, you know what? I was like, maybe the first round was a fluke. Like, whatever. And then I did it again 2 days later. I made the same post. Posted again, man, and easily over 100 people have probably reached out. Easy, which I'm very grateful for. And so people, you know, I've been 100 people booked the interviews, but it's been a good amount of people that have reached out, and hopefully, this is the beginning of something special. Because I think everybody is trying to do the same thing, which is to just get their voice out there and their stories heard, and. Have somebody that's not trying to bust them over the head to make an appearance.
This is a safe space. I'm telling you, Rashad, this is a safe space.
Yeah, so that's how I look at it, man. I really think that everybody has a unique story, man. And hopefully, again, it builds to something. More importantly, man, again, it goes back to what you mentioned about being human. I can spend an hour, 45 minutes, an hour to my day having a conversation with a random person that I've never talked to before this and turn it into something magical. So if anybody out there who don't think social media does not work, I'm truly a believer because if you would have told me 2 weeks ago, let alone a month ago, when I was unsure about even potting anymore, just because I was just kind of done with it. And I was just like, it's doing pods by yourself is so fun for so long.
Gotcha.
There's only so many times you can talk to yourself. And I give myself like 10 minutes. Like I don't even hear myself talk for like 10 minutes. And after that, I have like this moral dilemma of narcissism. But
I feel you.
But I went back to, I'm like, what was you doing that was just very effortless? Like, dude, you've interviewed nearly over 100 people, man. I know that's not the route you necessarily didn't want to do, but it works. So stick to what works, and I'll actually try it for, you know, a good period of time and see what happens, man. So you are the first one of it's over 100. So I appreciate
the first one of 100. That's what's up. So I'm the this is my first podcast, and I'm the first of 100, man. That's what's up, man. Yeah. This was a great experience. I really enjoyed this, man.
Yes, sir, man. So I appreciate it. Just stay on for 1 second. I just want to say for everybody on there, please make sure to subscribe to the pod on your favorite audio platform. Again, check out Martell's, man. It's just Instagram, TikTok, Threads. I have that all posted in the description, man. And I appreciate you all. Until next time, peace. All right, let me stop this.